Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
What is up, everybody? Thank you all for joining me on the latest Mortcast, part of the CSG Network. I'm, of course, your host, Jeff Morton. Okay, the Denver Nuggets, on a last-second shot, beat the Los Angeles Lakers in Game 2 of the Western Conference first round to go up 2-0. I think this is going to sound weird, but I think the results of this are less instructive for what we need to talk about than the one slight adjustment, and it is slight adjustment, that was made by the Denver Nuggets coaching staff that I think was key to basically disrupting all of the Lakers' offense in the second half. And it was really fascinating to watch. And I think people missed the boat here. It wasn't an indictment of Jokic. On defense, it wasn't anything like that. It was much different, and it was something that the Nuggets knew that they could do, and I think they pulled it out a little late, but I think it worked out in the end, and we'll talk about that in the second half. But the first half, I'm going to kind of go over the game. I knew going into this that the Lakers would be completely desperate, and there was a lot of desperation in this first half for the Lakers. And they did their nuclear option. And their nuclear option was to put Davis on Jokic exclusively, but in turn, basically turn that into Davis and LeBron pick and roll, which from whence everything sprang in the Lakers offense. So it's kind of like, it's not quite as exclusive as the flex offense was for Jerry Sloan and the Utah Jazz back in the 90s. This is a little different. This is basically, think of it as not two planets, but one planet and everything else circling around it. So like many moons. And the moons benefit from the rotational, the axis that this goes on. And it's kind of like the Denver Nuggets with the Jokic-Murray two-man game, but it's a little different because Jokic controls everything. The Lakers tried to do a variation of this, and their calculation was that putting Nikola Jokic in a lot of different actions would get them a lot of results, which is 100% true, and Jokic himself admitted that in the second in the post game. Is that what was happening as the Lakers expanded their lead in this at the end of the second quarter was a lot of Davis, very specifically Davis and not necessarily LeBron. They were trying to make LeBron into a Jokic and Davis into a Murray in this situation, okay? Just a bigger version of it with Davis. And it was working because Davis had 24, 26 points on that by halftime. And then he had about, six more points in the third quarter. We'll get to that in a bit. So it was a correct calculation, but it's their nuclear option. And when I say it's their nuclear option is that it wasn't necessarily a break glass in case of emergency. It was, we got to do this, we got to break it out right now because that is our only adjustment. And I think the Lakers are cognizant that there is one thing the Nuggets could do to counter that, and it will mess up their offense. So it was effective, and the Nuggets were down for most of the game. And this was, and well, basically on 99% of the game they were down. And what was happening was the Lakers were getting a lot of open looks for D'Angelo Russell, who needs to be wide open. I think one thing that people miss is that one of the reasons D'Angelo Russell has been so well covered by the Denver Nuggets is because he's never really had any open looks. I mean, Bruce Brown smothered him. And what was happening because of the Davis and LeBron two-man game, which was very exclusively, almost exclusively a pick and roll, was everything was springing forth from that, and very, very, very specifically, D'Angelo Russell was getting wide open threes, which is why they were able to open up a 15-point lead before halftime. Very specifically, D'Angelo Russell hitting those threes. If D'Angelo Russell isn't hitting like he was, it was going to be a two or three, much like game one, it's going to be like a 2 or 3 point game at halftime. So the Nuggets were going exactly as they were in game one, as they should have. And this is something that is indicative of a team that knows it's better than another team. It's like, well, okay, we're just going to coast this out and see where the Lakers go, because then it's incumbent upon the Lakers to adjust. Once again, because of the way they were relying on their pick and roll, none of the Lakers other than D'Angelo Russell was really benefiting. And Austin Reeves is getting a ton of criticism for his play the first two games, but a lot of what the Lakers are doing basically excludes him. So he turns into a KCP in this scenario. He turns into a guy who just gets some junk and some leftovers. Whereas in the Western Conference Finals last year, Reeves was actually one of the few. I mean, Davis didn't have a great series, and LeBron had his 40-point game in Game 4, but Reeves was the most consistent player in that series, and it was much like this one. It was still close, but the Nuggets were obviously the better team, much like this series. I know if any Lakers fans who stumble upon this podcast are shaking their fist at this, but it's, you have to acknowledge that it's true. The Nuggets are the better team. They got the best player on the planet, who was kind of coasting in the first half. There was and Michael Porter Jr. was basically keeping the Nuggets from getting completely blown out because of his shot-making ability, and Jamal Murray was. Not, let's just say he wasn't playing the best basketball we've ever seen him play. In fact, the first two games are very not the best games that Jamal Murray has played in the playoffs. Let's just put it to you that way. All this was happening at once, and the Nuggets got down 59-44. And that was alarming to some people, and it wasn't unexpected for me. I kind of thought that I thought the Lakers would have broken out the Davis LeBron pick and roll in the second half of game one, they could have done that and stolen game one. I don't know why they didn't, but they kept their game plan as it was, kind of like Michael Malone did. And the game unfolded like every other game. This one game was a little different. But there was, it's not even a, as I said before, it's not even a break glass in case of emergency scenario for the Lakers. This is very much a reflection of, this is our only option. This is our nuclear option, and we do not want to break this out this early. It's very clear that the results of game one was an indication that the Lakers were like, we got to go back to the only option that we have, which is spamming this very big pick and roll, not really two-man game, but pick and roll with LeBron and Davis, and basically allowing LeBron to conserve energy for the fourth quarter. And he had a good fourth quarter to his credit, except for one shot at the end, and we'll get to that in the second half. So it was working. But as I said before, as much as it was benefiting D'Angelo Russell, it wasn't helping anyone else on the roster. It was very specifically D'Angelo Russell who was getting the benefit. And he was getting wide open threes, and the wide open threes were he was hitting. He was actually knocking down. This is the first time D'Angelo Russell has had a good playoff game. So it was a reflectant of the way the Lakers were operating, and Anthony Davis was able to get exploit spacing. And this is something that I'm going to do a segment called Always Listen to Jeff, because I watched a lot of basketball, and this is only because I played the game in junior high school, but that's it. And I once everyone grew far, 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 far taller than me, I stopped. But I have always been a basketball fan going back to when I was 10. So I've seen a ton of NBA basketball. A ton. And there's truisms to the game. You know, obviously, he who shoots better will generally win. It's you know, some of the principles and the fundamentals have changed with the three-point emphasis of the last 10 years or so. But the one fundamental thing remains the same. Is that the NBA essentially is the pursuit of spacing. Everything is done. It's not necessarily to shoot. It's not necessarily to get a shot. It is to get space, therefore leading to a shot. It's all about spacing. One of the reasons the league changed the last several years is because the league tried to manufacture spacing. So essentially spacing was built into the league due to the rules. It started in 2001, increased in 2005, and then with the exploitation of the three-point line, spacing, as I've been saying over and over in this league, became almost funhouse mirror. After the All-Star break, the NBA made a concerted effort to stop calling fouls the way they were calling them, which were basically due to the rules and the way that the league had evolved to that point. I hate saying evolved because the league forced it to that point, but the league was like, all right, we're done with this. And what it has done is constrict the game. It's constrict, even though there's threes being shot, it's constricted the game. The game has become closer rather than farther, like it was getting. And the reason that this affects this Lakers game, Lakers Nuggets game in game two, is the Nuggets were getting outspaced because Jamal Murray wasn't hitting shots. And the spacing that the Lakers were getting because of the actions got from the Davis and LeBron pick and roll was they were outspacing the Nuggets. Because Davis, because of what tangentially was happening with D'Angelo Russell, was able to get more spacing enough to attack Jokic in space. Which is one of his big problems, is that when things are constricted with Jokic and when the spacing is reduced, Davis struggles because he needs more spacing. He wants to not necessarily drive to the hoop, but he needs to have that one-on-one and the radius around that in order to operate. That's the way he exploits most players, but it's been more difficult with the Denver Nuggets. And what the LeBron and Davis kind of actions did with LeBron not being the primary scorer in this was Davis was able to do this. However, there is one consequence of this is because in turn, Davis ends up being the one primarily focused on Jokic. There is a symbiosis to this. And due to that, there's something that was inevitably going to happen. And I thought this would happen because as soon as I heard after game one, Darvin Ham saying, we have adjustments for this, I knew they were going to go to the LeBron and Davis pick and roll. There's a consequence of this. And the consequence of this is something that played out in the second half once the Denver Nuggets adjusted. They were down 59-44. And about 3-4 minutes into the quarter, the lead was up to 20. It was 68-48. A slight adjustment, and I do mean slight adjustment, was made that completely discombobulated the Los Angeles Lakers and rendered their offense essentially non-functional. And I will talk about that in the second half of the podcast. We'll be back right after the break.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When Michael Malone called a timeout, the Nuggets were down 68-48. He made one adjustment. And really, this probably goes to the defensive coaching staff here, because this is something the Nuggets have known that they can do for a long time. It's something they did in the Western Conference Finals in some stretches. And it was basically taking Jokic off of Anthony Davis permanently. I don't mean basically removing him from the ecosystem, kind of like what they did with Michael Porter Jr. in the Utah series, where they were bouncing him off of the pick and roll. So they're making him reject all of the switches. MPJ would reject switches. This wasn't that same thing. They put Jokic on Rui Hachimura, and they put Aaron Gordon on Davis, and they put KCP on LeBron. Now, you're thinking, well, okay, there's a size mismatch there with LeBron and KCP, and Gordon is the Nuggets' best defender in that scenario. What that did was it reduced the space of LeBron and Davis to operate, because there is a more lithe body on Davis, very specifically. In the scenario that the Lakers have to operate in, if they're going to make the Davis-LeBron pick-and-roll work, is that it has to be Davis-centric. Because LeBron operates less pick-and-roll-based than Davis does, he's more heliocentric. He is a guy that wants to have spacing to drive to the basket, and a lot of that doesn't have much to do with pick-and-rolls. He gets a lot of his buckets on in transition and having a wide open lane, and then he will shoot the occasional three. In this fourth quarter last night, he got two threes in a row. Okay, But we need to talk about this simple adjustment. And one of the reasons it's so effective is because Gordon is very good at one-on-one defense, which is what essentially this Davis-LeBron pick and roll operates in. Once the Nuggets made the adjustment with KCP on LeBron and Gordon on Davis, is it sucked up the space. And while I do think that Davis got maybe two more baskets after the switch was made, the last 17 minutes of the game, Davis touched the ball once. And this wasn't because the Lakers just forgot how to play. LeBron's too smart for that. It was because they sucked up the option of the pick and roll. The Nuggets essentially took the Lakers' best adjustment and reduced it from this big spacing opportunity to constricted it. Once again, folks, the NBA is about spacing. The Nuggets choked the Lakers' space, very specifically Anthony Davis. And Davis didn't help himself. He tends to do this in second halves, but this was primarily due to the Nuggets. This was not 100% because Davis tends to disappear. This is probably a good 85% because the Denver Nuggets took what the Lakers were doing and reduced it to this very small area. Gordon can move with Davis. Jokic struggles. And when you have a pick and roll that's designed to offer Davis specifically more space with the pick and the way they covered due to Jokic being slower, what that did was it completely choked off the Lakers' offense. And what you saw from halfway through the third quarter to the end of the game was the Lakers were reduced to LeBron James trying to have to win, which is by himself, which is something the Lakers fundamentally don't want to do. They were trying to get LeBron into winning time to where he can close out. So they were having him conserve energy for that. But what happened was the Nuggets counter was better than the Lakers' adjustment. The Nuggets and KCP, God bless him, is better on guards. LeBron's huge. LeBron James is LeBron James, and he's one of the best players we've ever seen in the NBA. And one of the consequences of Davis being shut off was LeBron got more opportunity. And yet LeBron had a better second half than he did a first half. LeBron was distributing more. He was more in the Jokic role in the first half. But what the Nuggets had done was take Davis out of the game. And people don't understand how Davis-focused the Lakers are. LeBron is LeBron, but this team tends to go as Anthony Davis goes. And that's what the Nuggets fundamentally understand about the Lakers. They understand that Anthony Davis is the wheel on which everything spins with the Lakers, as all due respect to LeBron James. So as you get into the fourth quarter, as the lead got to 10, you could see in the Lakers' body language that they were starting to panic. Because what had happened, because the Nuggets on defense, and I always, you know, anyone who's been a longtime listener of the Morecast will tell you, I have some bromides, some axioms. One of them is you can't defend your way into a good offensive possession. This is true. You can't look at the Orlando Magic right now. They're all defense. They can't defend their way into a good offensive possession. There's a difference between defense and there's defense and then there's understanding stops. And the Nuggets getting stops, forcing the ball out of Davis's hand, forcing the Lakers into LeBron-centric actions, which basically means clear out and get him a lane, was essential to basically the Lakers getting choked out even more. And if you saw from midway through the third quarter all the way to the end of the fourth, the Lakers offense was clunky, isolation centric, and it didn't have any rhythm to it. Because the Nuggets counter essentially rendered that ineffective. It's credit to the Nuggets coaching staff and, yes, Michael Malone for understanding that the Nuggets counter was better than the Lakers adjustment. And everyone on the planet could have told you exactly what the Lakers were going to go to, because the Lakers are a desperate team. Honestly, I would be too. Because if you lose to a team this many consecutive times, it starts getting in your head, folks. It really does. These people are humans. And what you saw was the Nuggets look at this and say, we have a fundamental counter that the Lakers can't come back from. And that is Gordon guarding Anthony Davis in these LeBron Davis pick and roll actions. They attempted to try to do that several times, and Gordon was up on him. And Davis needs space. And with Jokic there, God bless him, Jokic is not fast enough to cover the spacing that is needed. He is not. Jokic is just, he is who he is. He's got quick hands and he's got good feet, but speed is not his friend. And that's what the Lakers were exploiting. And Jokic himself, like I said, after the game, admitted as much. That's no slight to Jokic. That's just one of his deficiencies, one of his few. All right? So, but on the other end, the Nuggets understood that the Lakers, having Davis cover Jokic as much as he did in the first half, there was another contributing factor to why the Lakers, and very specifically Davis, had issues midway through the third quarter into the fourth. And that is because having to cover Nikola Jokic exclusively is extremely tiring and physically demanding. Jokic is a physical post player. He doesn't give you breaks. Because in the scenario that you have seen with the Lakers going that specific direction and having Davis having basically to cover Jokic one-on-one, as good as he can be as a defender, he has a limit, like every other player in the NBA. You're not going to out-stamina Nikola Jokic. This is why he prevails. It's his intelligence and his stamina. He is, I made the example to someone last night, he is a Sherman tank. He just keeps going. And you could see, even in the first game, Jokic was on Davis on several plays in the fourth quarter in game one. Davis was seen grabbing his knees at the end. And this game, Davis wanted no part of having to guard Jokic exclusively. So they moved Rui Hachimura onto Jokic for several plays. Jokic cooked him. Then they moved Davis back onto him, and Jokic basically got two, three baskets in a row with great post moves and an and one on one of them, because Davis was tiring the heck out. And this is something that goes hand in hand with the Nuggets knowing they are better than the Lakers. The Lakers tried to throw the haymaker of all haymakers out of sheer desperation in the first half, but it was found to be unsustainable because it requires Davis being basically unbelievably next level best player we've ever seen in our lives for an entire game. That has never been Anthony Davis. He has fits and starts. He will have moments where he's great, moments where he is certainly not, moments where he's great, certainly not. That's been Davis throughout his entire career, which is makes him so frustrating. But Nikola Jokic came in there and was like, all right, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And he ended up with 27 points, 20 rebounds, and 10 assists. And I don't even think he had a great game. He was efficient. He did all that. He was getting cooked on defense in the first half. That was one of the main reasons the Nuggets were down. And another consequence of the Nuggets adjustment with Gordon and KCP was suddenly The ball's not getting sprayed out to D'Angelo Russell in wide open spots like it was. It's amazing how simple basketball is. I mean, it's absolutely amazing how simple it is. The pursuit to spacing, and once you don't have that spacing, how do you manufacture it? And the Lakers could not do it. They were reliant on LeBron James hitting shots he doesn't normally hit, which is some long-range threes. And they were relying on basically D'Angelo Russell having something wide open. Now, we come down to the last minute. You know, it was funny. I was listening to the post-game stuff, and of course the Lakers went right to the officials fucked us kind of stuff, which is, and everyone knows on its face, is ridiculous. And I made the comment last night, which some people didn't take too well on the, if you're a Lakers fan, was that once you start complaining about the officials, you're done. And I know that because as a Denver Nuggets fan, that's what has happened a lot as a Denver Nuggets fan facing the Lakers. But deep down, I knew the Nuggets were cooked. Well, this is very similar. And the last minute of the game was interesting because the Nuggets, LeBron kept trying to put the Nuggets away. The biggest play of the game outside of Murray's shot, which won the game, was Jokic, after LeBron got the steal on Jamal Murray and went down and slammed the ball for a three-point lead. The Nuggets came back really quickly, and Jokic, I don't know what happened on this play. It looked like he was trying to draw a foul, to be quite honest with you, but this ball ends up going, like, flying into the air. For whatever reason, it ended up fortunate for the Nuggets, where the Aaron Gordon and Austin Reeves end up fighting for a ball. Fortunately for the Nuggets, Aaron Gordon is stronger than Austin Reeves. And he tossed it out to Michael Porter Jr., who hit a contested three, which tied the game. That was a shot that was so big. But LeBron had to do almost everything. He scored 12 points in the fourth quarter. And when you look at this, and you look at that, I think the Lakers only scored 20 points in the fourth quarter, and LeBron had 12 of them. But Jamal Murray scored 14, and it was the last two that was a big deal. But it basically turned into a mano-a-mano versus the Nuggets as a team and LeBron James. And it was tied in 99. But if you're the Denver Nuggets, you take those odds, don't you? You take the odds as your team, with the best player on the planet, Nikola Jokic, but your team will out-duel LeBron James, a 40-year-old LeBron James. 10 years ago, maybe even 12 years ago, I think that may be a different equation. But you take your chances with a 40-year-old LeBron James trying to win it by himself and your Denver Nuggets. And that's what happened. All right, thank you all for joining me on the latest Mortcast. Nuggets are up 2-0, and they don't play again till Thursday, so your next Mortcast will be on Friday. Thank you all for joining me on this one, and I'll be back then to talk about Game 3. Goodbye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.